being a part of this association, the Companions of Christ, that I speak about at times, is overall a real blessing, but not without its challenges. There's many different things to attend to within our association, the house that we have, the different projects we do, and certainly not the least, the personalities to deal with as well. Now, of course, I'm reasonable, balanced, and wholly inoffensive, but I'm talking about my brothers, you know, and their personalities, and I'm the leader of the association called the moderator, and so sometimes have to kind of weigh into different areas and guide, and it can be kind of exhausting at times. Well, and sometimes we can also be really prone to how the enemy doesn't like what we're doing and wants to upset that. And so this week was an interesting thing. We had on Friday a memorial that the church celebrates of Saints Timothy and Titus, these kind of two protégés of St. Paul, whose conversion we celebrated the day prior. And in that, this memorial of Timothy and Titus, you can choose, you know, which first reading. Is it from a letter St. Paul wrote to Timothy, or is it the one that he wrote to Titus? And there's really kind of a different flavor to them. That's what I was struck by. And, you know, with Titus, you know, it's complimentary, but it's really about, okay, this is what I'm sending you to do. Like, go do this on Crete, etc. You know, the passage from Paul's letter, his second letter to Timothy, and Timothy has two letters, you know, is very, very intimate and recalling the faith of his mother and grandmother and my dear child. And it's very personal and warm and engaging. And I was just very struck by the difference. And that's kind of where, you know, the enemy found an angle, you know, and in myself, I started to think about, yeah, you know, in the companions, I feel so much more like Titus than Timothy. You know, these guys, they just appreciate all the stuff I do for them, you know, all the different things I have to deal with for them. But, like, do they really know me? Do they really care that I am a part of the association? And, you know, and then it just kind of gets kind of darker from there, right? You know, and then, you know, I had to really depend upon instead the voice of the Lord to come into that, you know, of saying, no, you, in what you do, you are showing your love. The Son of Man has come to serve and not be served. And of course they know you, you know, and so the Lord's voice had to come in and defeat this narrative the enemy was trying to create in my heart to build resentment and to be distant and aloof from my brothers. I bring this all up because in our readings today, there's the reality of the voice, listening to the voice of the Lord, listening to the voice of Jesus. Or is it listening to this voice of confusion we hear in the gospel where, you know, the enemy is blurting things out from this poor possessed man? You know, what voice do we listen to? What voice do we give court within ourselves? You know, our first reading is about this prophet that will come, someone like Moses, indeed even greater than him, who will speak what the Lord wishes to share with his people and is to be heard. And of course, we know who that is. That's Jesus who has come. Says, you know, there's someone greater than Moses. And we also have Jesus, that he teaches with authority. He teaches with authority, not just simply as the scribes, kind of quoting other people's observations, but from himself, he has this great authority to share God's truth and reveal God's truth to us. And he can even then command these spirits to be silent or to go. And of course, we know throughout the Gospels how often Jesus, with his word, heals, calms the sea and the storm. And so it's so important for us to be attentive to, even day by day, you know, who am I listening to within my heart and in my mind? There's a wonderful saint, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, who gives rules of discernment that he learned kind of the hard way when he had his big conversion. And he has actually a first and second week set of rules. And the first week rules are most known and can be very helpful for discerning spirits, discerning like what voice is really kind of speaking to me right now. You know, because just because something occurs to me in my heart, my mind, doesn't mean it's like authentic and true and I just kind of follow your gut, you know, and just hate your companions, you know. No, that has to be checked and measured and weighed against the truth of Jesus Christ. And so St. Ignatius, he gives these 14 rules, and I just want to touch actually on the last three, 12, 13, 14, because they're descriptive, and I think they're super helpful for all of us. And so he's trying to describe kind of how the enemy, how the tempter operates and his stratagems. And he has kind of three different images. Rule 12, he kind of describes a bully. You know, a bully, someone who has, you know, who wants to kind of get in your face, try to push you around, but if you show actual resistance and work against what the bully is trying to get you to do, he backs off. He's going to find an easier victim. If you show strength and work against that bully, well, then he knows that he can't overpower you. And so his first rule is look out for how the enemy might try to bully you, you know? And if you start to fall for his temptations, fall for his proposals, he just doubles down and is just ferocious and latches on. But if you work against it instead, if you reject it, if you renounce that, then, you know, the enemy starts to lose his strength. And then the next rule, rule 13, is about, he describes the enemy as kind of this seducer who likes to work in the shadows, you know, and he proposes, you know, bad things. And if the person that he's trying to seduce would just kind of go to her father and say, there's this creep who keeps kind of approaching me, you know, then his power is unmasked and overturned. And so the enemy loves to keep things quiet. Oh, you don't need to confess that. Oh, don't share that, you know, with your spouse or with your friends in the faith. You know, just that's just between us, you know. And so he loves to work in the shadows and then compromise us until we don't feel like we can share really important things we need to share. And then rule 14, he describes the enemy not as a bully, not as this kind of shadowy seducer, but as this bandit who has this little arm and he's going to try to take a city. And so he goes around the walls of the city, kind of scouting it out to find the weak point in the walls and the defenses of the city. And when he finds it, boom, that's what he goes and attacks, because it's the easiest place for him to get in and then overturn everything. And so then with that one, you know, we need to know, what are our weaknesses? How are we prone, you know, to temptation, to falls, and to strengthen those with the contrary virtues instead of the vices we fall into, to ask for God's help and prayer in those places. And so we have this voice of the enemy, the bully, the seducer, the bandit. And instead, we can hear the voice of Jesus. How important for us to listen for his voice instead. Instead of a bully, Jesus is a shepherd. He has great strength, but a gentle voice. He has genuine strength that he can use to help us, but he's not going to just kind of get in our face and scream like the bully might. Instead, he calls. He calls us gently. He wants to guide us so that we can come to know him better and know his ways and follow him in his paths. And even if needed sometimes, yes, to carry us on his shoulders. And so the voice of Jesus is one that has great strength, but calls us into following him in a personal way and not just get kind of pushed around by him as an object. You know, the enemy wants to just kind of create confusion. And look at how in the gospel, Jesus knew that yes, well, of course he is the Holy One of God, but there's a whole process of revelation for the world, for them to come to understand what that really means instead of kind of their misguided understanding. You know, if all the people are like, oh, he's the Holy One of God, well, let's grab our pitchforks and, you know, stab Romans and do things like that. No, they had to learn how he was going to conquer the world from the cross. And then instead of a concealer, instead of this shadowy seducer, our Lord wants to speak truth into our lives, to set us free. Just as he did when I was getting kind of tempted by this kind of perverse reading of Timothy and Titus, of again recalling to me great truths that, you know, the Son of Man has come to serve and not to be served. And in this, you know, this is a great and beautiful thing. And yes, your brothers truly know you. And I think about all the ways and, you know, bringing that truth into my heart and mind again. So Jesus, as we have in our gospel, teaches with authority, as opposed to the insinuations and the half-truths of the seducer. And then we have that final image, the bandit, that exploiter, you know. In contrast to that, we have Jesus who comes to heal and to make whole. You know, the enemy finds our wounds and wants to exploit them and manipulate them. Jesus, he wants to come into our pain, to accompany us in that, to be there with us, to show his wounds as well, so that we would know that he understands and he is in our midst and he is with us in this hardship. And then in that, to accompany and to bring healing and to make us whole. How different the voice of the Lord than the voice of the enemy that often is out in the world, but also sometimes attacks us in heart and mind. So our psalm, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You know, our hearts can be hardened by these different temptations, these stratagems of the enemy, if we let them succeed within us. But instead we're called to hear the voice of Jesus for that gentle guidance, for that deepening of truth within us, as well as that healing of us and making us whole. Some ways that we can be open to the voice of the Lord. You know, such an important one is the scriptures, the reading and praying with holy scriptures. You know, and to go into especially maybe some of those letters of St. Paul, you know, and what they share about what Jesus has done and accomplished, what he extends to us. Going into the Gospels to hear the very words of Jesus and let those become a strength in our life. Even just simply taking the readings that we hear every Sunday Mass and meditating on those ahead of time, pondering them afterwards, so that what is kind of proclaimed here, what the Lord gives us in grace when they're proclaimed here, can then kind of echo in our lives. I think also having some kind of prayerful examination of ourselves is so important. You know, not just a morbid introspection. You know, that's definitely the playground of the enemy, but instead, Holy Spirit, please guide me to a deeper self-knowledge. Lord, my good shepherd, you know, guide me, help me to reflect on what's going on in my life, what are the voices that are echoing within me, and help me to choose yours. You know, if we're just kind of skittering around on the surface all the time with a busy life, just concerned about the world, as St. Paul describes in our second reading, you know, we have very little opportunity to plumb both the depths of truth that are there as well as the distortions the enemy is trying to work within us. And then, of course, confession is such a powerful moment. And to really do a good and deep examination of our conscience, not just simply like what are the surface level sins, the behavior sins, but like what are those deeper interior sins of like pride, of like lack of trust in God, judgment that then, yeah, makes me impatient with my wife, or you know, wasting time or things like that. Well, what are those deeper things? Ask the Lord to help you understand those, and so he can bring them to him in his mercy. And then finally, you know, as the enemy might propose, even just different kind of interior attitudes and judgments towards us, to work against that. St. Ignatius talked about agere contra, work against the proposals and the stratagems of the enemy. And so just to realize that we are in a fight and we have voices to choose, the voice of the Lord or instead the voice of confusion in the world, the voice of the enemy proposing unhappiness and bondage and a wounded, grievous spirit instead. So may we be open to the voice of the Lord, a voice that guides, a voice that teaches with his loving authority, and a voice that calls us to the fullness of life, that we would be healed and made whole.